This is episode 43 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Andy Russell's book, Testimony Volume 1, Alien Abduction in the UK. When I have guests on my podcast, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I've chosen to read an extract from a case study number 4, which is titled Nika. And this is what Andy has written. Nika is a 53-year-old New Yorker who has been living in London since she relocated there due, in part, to a psychic quest instigated by her early abduction encounters. Nika is of Native American heritage, and her discovery of her ancestral roots made an impact on her interaction with the abduction phenomena. She said, "My grandfather was plagued by what were, I suspect, abduction experiences. He would let little things slip from time to time. He would complain about bad dreams, and would claim these bad dreams were from a far distant side of the family. By family, I assumed he meant in a spiritual sense. In later life, he would explain that this distant star family were coming back to rediscover something that was buried in our human souls. Everyone thought he was nuts. It was just crazy Native American grandpa again with his stories. But there is a backstory to where this all started to come to prominence in his and ultimately my life. I have no memories of experiences in early years, but around 12 years of age, I had my first really conscious encounter. I went to bed early, which was unusual on a summer night. We weren't in school, so every day was like a whole holiday in itself. I had this awful headache. It was like someone was trying to crush my head. There was this weird pressure, as if there was a tight band around my head. My parents gave me some painkillers and sent me off to bed. The pain was too intense to sleep. I lay there tossing and turning, waiting for someone to turn off the pain. Around 11 p.m. I became aware of a dull red light which seemed to be filtering in through a crack in the curtains. I crept to the window to take a look. I was expecting to see maybe a police car or something. By this, I needed to investigate but couldn't risk going downstairs. I opened the window and became aware of a soft humming sound, almost like an electricity generator but a bit softer and deeper. There was almost a soothing quality to the sound. Suddenly, there were two figures in the street. They just appeared from nowhere. They were short, around 4 feet tall, and were looking up at me in the window. They had big, dark eyes, almost the same shape as a cat. Every time our eyes met, it was like they were in my head, almost like we made a connection by looking at each other. Suddenly, one of them is standing next to me in the bedroom. I am shocked and stagger back, but he projects into my mind that everything would be okay and that I should feel calm. After he said that, I did feel much calmer. A feeling of almost being relieved swept over me. The next thing I know, we are floating together into the light of this red object. It became hazy for a few seconds, and we seemed to be in a larger ship. We drifted along this circular corridor, which led us to a room with a large table in it. I was floated onto the table, and I suddenly felt very heavy. It was like I had become heavier somehow and couldn't move. I was becoming a little panicked by this turn of events, but again this being just reminded me that nothing bad would happen, and I instantly felt calm. Another being walked up to the table. I hadn't seen him arrive. He gently lowered his face close to mine. He stared into my eyes, and I became aware of such peace and contentment, but I was aware that he was looking for something inside my head. Almost as if he was waiting for a memory or thought to present itself to him. I say him, as he felt male to me. There was nothing to indicate gender other than what I felt. Suddenly he stopped and pulled back. He seemed really happy with what had happened. It's what I sensed. Suddenly, in my head, he simply said, "Good." I felt the weight ease and I was floated off the table. The atmosphere suddenly changed. I felt everything seem really efficient. They wanted me gone now. They had achieved whatever it was they wanted, and now I must go. I suddenly found myself in the street in front of this light. The original being was there. We both then appeared in my bedroom. He said to me telepathically, "We will maintain, we will return." I didn't really understand the statement in total, but I started feeling sleepy and crawled into bed. The moment I got into bed, the headache ceased, just like someone switching off a light, gone. This occurred 8 or 9 times over the next year in an identical fashion, the headache followed by the encounter. Towards the end, these encounters became so typical to me. It was just what happened. The headache would come, and I knew what was going to follow. As I grew older, I started to notice other humans on the ship. I would start to be taken into larger rooms, still for examinations, but there were others there too. I started to detect the stress in the air. Some people were really freaking out, while there would be others looking almost traumatized. The aliens, though, were quick to deal with anyone losing control or slowing down whatever was meant to happen. I started to notice, over time, that there would be familiar faces, almost like we were a batch of humans all being taken at the same time. Maybe there's a rota. Maybe we're all part of the same study group. As I started to develop sexually, maybe around 17 years of age onwards, the aliens took a greater notice in my reproductive system. When I had an experience, my periods would go haywire for a few months afterwards. When nature balanced herself out, the aliens would arrive again and start poking around. During these experiences, they seemed fascinated with my, shall we say, inner workings. Anyway, sometimes during these examinations of myself, one of the taller greys would look into my eyes, and it was almost as if he was manipulating me to feel deep maternal feelings. It became a battle of wills, which ultimately I would lose. But I didn't want to think about that maternal side of me. Those feelings weren't real. I didn't feel ready. I also felt that I would be the one to decide when I felt maternal, not them. I didn't want them poking and prodding and playing with my mind. It had gone too far for me. I guess I started to act up, not only during the encounters, but in life as well. I had dropped out of school. I was just this ball of anger, and I was not happy with myself or anyone at that time. I was so angry. Things then took a bit of a turn. The unspoken but open secret in my family was that there was some Native American blood in the family tree. It was a secret, inasmuch as it wasn't spoken about. There was no story, there was no shame. It just came up in conversation from time to time at family gatherings, but as a topic of conversation, it was shut down pretty quickly by my family. I think they had collectively worked hard to get to a comfortable existence, and there was some compromise there, which no one was keen to acknowledge or unpick. The compromise being, in retrospect, playing capitalism's game and turning their back on other ideas, maybe. Then one day my grandfather came to me and told me of an experience that occurred to him, which brought the Native American ideas and traditions back to the forefront for me. My grandfather told me he had worked hard all his life in construction and knew some of the old stories from the old ways, but at the time it was better to fit in with his surroundings and not rock the boat. But as he got older, he kept having these experiences with what we would call greys. They plagued him to a degree because he couldn't contextualize these experiences into the worldview which he and many others had. It just didn't fit. So my grandfather decided to go back to the old ways, as he described it. He spent a bit of time looking into doing a sweat lodge to see if he could get some resolution in regard to the encounters he was having. Through a friend of a friend type connection, my grandfather travelled into New York State and underwent his first sweat lodge. He recounted to me how he felt a great weight lift off his shoulders, as if by simply acknowledging his ancestors in this way, there was some psychic energy being directed his way. My grandfather apparently went into a trance and received a lot of messages explaining that even by ignoring his ancestry, he couldn't remove what was in his blood. This was part of him, whether he chose to ignore it or not. He was apparently also told that the greys he had been encountering, he didn't use the word greys, but that's who he was talking about, had always been here, and just like people, they were good and bad. The message he took away from me was that I was to always vision quest after my encounters. That would give me some insight and ground me back on planet Earth in an energetic sense, but it would also provide me with answers. Okay, so this week I was reading from Andy Russell's book, Testimony Volume 1, Alien Abduction in the UK. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support this podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/AlienUFOPodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.